Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to John chapter 14. John chapter number 14 is a very familiar passage of Scripture. The question is, I appreciate Miss Karen's song. I remember hearing that song a long time ago. Leah Ackley's dad sang it at a camp meeting one time, and I remember when I was there and I heard it, I was a little confused at the beginning because the song talked about, hey, this guy couldn't go in because he's not a prophet, and then he felt like he couldn't go in because he wasn't a martyr, and then it all made sense, is that there's only one way to get in, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so the question for you this morning is, are you going in or not? And the reality is, it's not about being a prophet, and it's not about being a preacher. And it's not about being a martyr. And it's not about being the thief on the cross. It's about whether or not you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we think we're getting there, any other way. You're wrong. Doesn't matter who you are. Where you've been or what you've done or haven't done. If your son would die on the cross, shed his blood, and do all those things, and then someone not appreciate that, how would you feel? Think about the heart of God. The son came to this world, and we're getting ready to celebrate the resurrection. And for us to look at God and say, I'm going to go in some other way. You missed the whole point of the gospel. And we have people who sit in churches, and they sit here sometimes for years. My wife could tell you the story about herself. And they sit in church for a long time. I tell you my testimony as a boy, I got saved. As a 9-year-old boy. But boy, I heard it when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And finally, God convicted my heart and showed me I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And are you going to go in? You don't have to be a martyr. It's not about what the martyrs did. You don't have to be a prophet. It's not about what the prophets did. It's not about being the worst sinner in the world that says the human race looks at them and the Roman government says, you've done so much wrong, you deserve to die. It's understanding something. I cannot go in unless Jesus did what he did for me. I cannot make it to heaven on my own. And there's people possibly sitting here today, maybe watching today, maybe watching at another time, that have put their faith and trust in a prayer that they didn't even understand, maybe. Once again, that's prayer is the way we talk to God, and I get that. And that's how, if I said to you today, how many people ask Christ in their heart through a prayer, I think probably everybody would raise their hands, if not the majority, and they had somebody lead them through a prayer. And I know some people give people grief about that, whatever. The question is, do you know him today? Have you put your faith and trust in him? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Because like Miss Karen was singing there, there's really, you're not going to go in any other way. And it is something that the world doesn't understand. They have a different worldview. Hey, if I work hard enough, and that's what every other religion out there tells you, you got to do, you got to do, you got to do, you got to do, and you got to do. And then maybe someday. Jesus says it is finished. It was done. When he arose from the grave, he conquered death, sin, hell, and the grave. And we get to go to heaven today if we come in through him. It cost him a great price. It cost him so much. And you can imagine, next Sunday morning, I believe the Lord's leading, I'm preaching a message, We Preach Christ. It's found in 1 Corinthians. And back then it talked about those Greek gods, how they would come to earth in order to just be able to live a wicked, sinful life many times. God became man not to live a wicked, sinful life. God became man to be beaten, to be spat upon, to be whipped, to be hung on a tree. He knew all those things was going to happen. Obviously, he knew about the miracles. He knew he's God. He knew people's hearts. He knew they were going to reject him. And he knows your heart today. And so if someone came to you and said today, why do you think you get to go in? Why can you go in and not me? Talking about heaven. What would you say? Could you find a biblical answer? It's not finding an answer. Do you know a biblical answer that can say, I can go into heaven because Jesus Christ paid my sin debt. And there was a day in my life that I remember, and I know God convicted me of my sin and showed me that I needed a Savior, and revealed unto me that Christ was that Savior. And he paid my sin debt, and I put my faith and trust in him. I stopped trusting in anything else. I stopped trusting in myself. I stopped trusting in my works, and I stopped trusting in other gods. And I turned to him, and I have faith and trust in him. Those are the people that get to go in. Not the fact that you've been a member of a church. I was talking to somebody yesterday. We had a Mr. Humbert was my partner yesterday out there on visitation. I love hearing him talk about how he saved. Mr. Humbert can't hear that well sometimes. And when he's out there talking to people, sometimes he'll say something and he'll just keep on going. He loves telling people about how he got saved and what his life was before, how God drew him to himself and how he got right with God. And he's sitting there and he's out there just giving this testimony, and I've heard it so many times. And he gets to go in. I know that because of the fact that he came the only way. And that's when Jesus says here in John chapter 14, verse number 6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to get in. You can't bust through the wall. You can't create your own window. And the question is today, will you go in? I'm not asking you how many times you've been to church. I'm not asking you how many times you've raised your hand when they ask you if you're saved. I'm not asking you if you've ever been baptized. I'm not asking you if you've given the offering. I'm not asking you. I'm asking you, is there assurance in your soul today that there was a day and time when you said, I'm on my way to heaven because what Jesus did. I can go in today because he paid my way. And I saw that and understood that. And I believed that, and I put my faith in it. I hear testimonies of people who, and I was at a preacher's fellowship this past Friday. It was at a place called the Edge Camp, and it's up there. It's only a couple hours away. It's in Spring Grove, Virginia, wherever that is. I went there. I still don't know where it is. It's definitely, you go down one road, it looks like it's in the boondocks, and then you turn another, and you go a few more miles down further into the boondocks, and you go a few more miles, and you go farther, and then you find this spot that's there, and it's a Christian camp. It's something that they started a few years ago. It has some different meetings and some different opportunities. They even have retreats every year for couples and men's retreat and things like that. In October, I know the speaker is going to be there, and I'm thinking about the men could go to it and be a good place to try out. And the guy spoke, and the guy was a missionary son. And as he was preaching, there's two speakers. And as he was sitting there preaching, he gave the testimony. I didn't hear it all the way. He was clear when he preached, and he did a great job preaching, but he made it sound like, and this guy's in the ministry. He's an assistant pastor of a church in the Hampton Roads area, does a great job, has a testimony. But he made it sound like in his testimony that he only got saved about 16 months ago. And there was a time and a moment where he said that I truly understood what I needed was Jesus. I didn't need everything else. That's all I need was him. And I trusted in so many other things. I trusted in so many other people. And I might have misunderstood. I'm not the smartest guy or the sharpest knife in the drawer, but that's what I understood he had said. He didn't continue on in that, but probably thought most people knew what his testimony was. I didn't. I had never heard the guy before. I never met the gentleman before. Did a really good job preaching, but it just reminded me of something. Is there are people who think they're going to go in that aren't. A lot of people out there today that think because they trust in something else, they're going to go in. And so let's pick up this passage of scripture. If you ever heard me preach a funeral, probably I would say 40 to 50% of the time I use this passage just because the Lord really worked in my heart about it. Probably at least once a year or maybe every couple years I bring it up and talk about it because it's so appropriate and so valuable for the day and time we live in. And it says in verse number 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And he said, why is it so appropriate and so valuable? It's because so many people's hearts are troubled. We live in a day today that people are struggling with suicide. People are taking their lives. There's people struggling. And you go and you read it, and I don't keep up with the modern world, I guess, or the beautiful people of the world, what they call the beautiful people. But I see time and time lines, headlines, this actress, and supposedly this the greatest actress ever, you know, life got cut short. And then they say that about the greatest rapper or the greatest singer, and they're at young age, but they don't tell you how they died. And then a month later or a few weeks later or a week later, it comes out their own life. They committed suicide. They overdosed on drugs. They just couldn't handle it. They just couldn't deal with it. Their heart was so troubled. Their heart was so overwhelmed. Their heart was this, heart was that. And the Bible's saying here, let not your heart be troubled. How in the world can that happen when the beautiful people of the world are the ones that are supposed to be living high and mighty? They have everything to live for, the world says. And you read those articles, and sometimes I read those articles because I want to hear what they say. And their families all say, oh, they were great young men, and they were great young women, and their future was so fantastic, and their future was so great. And I cannot say that I know any of their spiritual conditions. I could say by what their life was like beforehand and some descriptions I read about them, they acted like they did not know God. But their future was amazing. But for some reason, they took their own life. And people say, I don't understand why. I don't know why. And mental health is a real issue. Depression is something that people deal with, not just believers, but also not just unbelievers, but believers too. There is a biblical way to look at things, and then there's an unbiblical way to look at things. And the biblical way to look at things is the Christian life is supposed to be one of joy, peace, and hope. How many of us today live that way? Now, not joy in our circumstances, because our circumstances can stink sometimes. The reality is, sometimes people leave before we think they should. Sometimes people are sick. Sometimes you hurt when you get up. When the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, again, I say rejoice. It's not talking about your circumstances as much as it's saying you have a great God and you can go into heaven someday. You have a Lord and a God that loves you and cares for you and knows you better than yourself, and he's going to do what's right for you every single time. But he says to this group, let not your heart be troubled. Let me remind you who this group is. He's talking to the 11. Possibly there's other people there. Many people think John Mark was there at this moment in time too. He's there, and as he's there, he's looking at this group, and he has just told this group, one of you is going to betray me. From the reaction inside the room, nobody looks around and says, it's Judas. He's been stealing. We know. They didn't think it was Judas so much, and the fact that even when Jesus says, hey, when I dip this sop in there, this guy's going to leave, they still didn't figure it out because they didn't know. Then they say, Peter's there, and that same night Peter looks at him, and Peter says, you know, brags that even though all other may betray thee, I'll never leave you. I'm willing to die for you. Jesus looks at him and says, you're going to deny me. And then he tells the whole group, you're all going to be ashamed of me tonight. You're all going to leave, and I'm leaving you. And he tells them all those things. And then he says to them, look, let not your heart be troubled. He says, don't worry about it. Can you imagine that? They give you this line and this line and this line of all the things you had faith in, all the things you had trust in. You know, the disciples are going to stay true, and we're going to work together, and we're going to reign together. And that was what they're thinking, is this physical kingdom that Jesus was going to set up. And then you had the Peter, the leader, the one who always spoke up for us. He's going to deny even knowing him. And then there's something's going to happen tonight that's going to cause me to flee away from Jesus at this difficult time in his life. And then Jesus is leaving us. And then he says, you shouldn't be worried. And then you read the next couple words. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He says, you don't have to be worried. You're believing in the right thing. You're not trusting in the Judases of the world. You're not trusting in the Peters of the world. You're not trusting in the fact that you're leaving. You have belief in God. And then he also says, you believe in God, believe also in me. There's a lot of people out there today that say that they believe in God, but it's not a belief to the point that they say, I'm going to believe in him, that he's my only way to heaven. I think that when we've been going through that series in Sunday school class, there's a group of people out there that says, it is growing bigger. It is growing bigger that people says that there is no God. Everybody knows April 1st as being, you know, certain people's birthdays. I think it's Jordan Seidenberg's birthday. It's Linda and Rick Bilger's anniversary. They say that's April Fool's Day. That's the National Atheist Day. And the reason why is because the Bible says if you don't believe in God, you're a fool. So that's your celebrating Atheist Day that day. So that seems rude. I says, well, the reality is if they don't believe in God, the Bible says they're a fool and that we need to tell them. So there's a belief in God, but what do you believe about him? Some people believe and picture God as somebody who should answer all their prayers, should be instant. Whenever, hey, God, come do this. God, do that. God, do this. They use them like a lucky rabbit's foot. They pull it out and say, okay, God, please. And then there's other people who will say, God is an angry God and God is a hateful God. And that and they have this picture, if I sin, God's going to zap me with a lightning bolt. What do you believe about God today? Are you going to go in today? If you die today, and the Bible says that boast not thyself tomorrow. The Bible does not guarantee you any longer, any more minutes on this world. Someone could pass away even before the service is over. I hope they don't. I hope they wait till after I get done. But boy, what a sermon illustration, right? I remember the one time Mrs. Armstrong got sick in church. And I remember that night, I think I was preaching about the second coming of Christ. And I was here and I was like, what are you going to do? The lady's sick. We had to call the ambulance. They waited, and people were at the altar praying. I mean, people were praying for Mrs. Armstrong, and I think that's a great thing to do. But why aren't our altars more filled today for other people who are lost? That's where we humble ourselves before God. It's where we surrender ourselves. He says, you believe in God. He says, you believe also in me. What's getting ready to happen is something that's necessary to happen. They missed it. They didn't, even though he told them a number of times, I'm going to be given into the hands of sinful men. He's going to be crucified. He talked about those things. And there's different reasons why. We're not going to go into that. But in the day and time that we live in, there's a lot of troubled people out there. And I'm not mocking them. I'm not making fun of them because it's real. And God of the Bible has the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. And we need to know it. We need to understand it. We need to be able to explain it to others, and we need to live it in front of others. And I'm not talking about some fake life where we put on a good pretty smile and we get all dressed up and everything looks right. No, it's because I believe in God. I act a certain way. Because I believe in God, I'm going to have a life of peace, and I'm going to have a life of joy. I'm going to have a life of hope that's built upon the foundation of the found in the Word of God and not around my circumstances, because they can steal away everything physical they want, but nothing can steal away the hope I have in Jesus Christ, and that someday I can go in because of what Jesus Christ did. I can go in because of the fact he died on the cross for me, and I understood that, and I put my faith and trust in him. I can have joy because I know the Lord is at hand, and I can have peace because he sees everything I'm going through, even though sometimes it's tough. And sometimes people say, hey, just buck up. What you're going through isn't that bad. People don't talk that way anymore now because it seems like it's not the appropriate or politically correct thing. 40 years ago, they kind of get smack and cross the back of the head and say, hey, just buck up. Nowadays, they have to be really, really sensitive. And they got to be really, really careful in what they say, because if not, they're going to be judged, or they're going to put on some website, or they're going to put on something else. But the reality of it all is, if God means something to you and you believe and trust in him and trust in his word, it's going to affect the way you live. And if it doesn't affect the way you live, either you don't know him or you're not living for him. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He looks at a group of men that had pinned all their hopes, all their trust on Jesus becoming that physical king and ruling and reigning. He says, I'm getting ready to leave and you can't come with me. And they're like, what? What in the world's happening? If even Verse 38 in chapter 13, the last verse says, Jesus answered him, will thou not lay down thy life for my sake? Very, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Not only he says Peter's going to deny me once, he's going to deny him three different times. And he begins to encourage him. He says, there's a faith to embrace. Believe in God. Believe in what Christ did. Believe in what he says when he says, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh unto the Father. You're not going to get there any other way. And no matter what you think, and no matter what anybody else thinks, no matter whatever false religion thinks, that's the truth. I remember here recently, it's studying, I don't know, from whatever one of the lessons or one of the messages or Sunday school lessons, it talked about how, in one of the books that we're reading or something like that, it talked about how Jesus, he was more than a good man. Because a good man would not tell a lie and said he's God. A good man would not go around saying, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So either Jesus was God, or he was a liar, or he was a lunatic. One of those three things, I think it was C.S. Lewis had given that case. It said either God himself, he was a liar, or he was a lunatic. Because what else, if I walked up today and said, hey, I'm God, you need to follow me, what would you say? First thing, hey, pastor, find a new job. Number two, it would be, pastor's gone a little crazy. we would say that with Stoop. This man walks around and says he's God. He even says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He even says, I and the Father are one, over and over and over in the Scriptures. He does that. They even pick up rocks to kill him because they realize what he was saying. And then he comes and he gives them a reason why they don't have to be troubled. He says, you got to trust the plan. He says in verse number 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I love that because he's saying, hey, look, you have a future to embrace. A future to envision. He says, someday you're going to be up in heaven, and someday there's going to be these great houses. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. If all this was not true, if everything that was getting ready to happen, me dying on that cross, me rising again, if it was not necessary, if it was not to help you in your future and envision what the mansions are going to look like, envision what the future is going to look like, eternity forever in heaven. He says, if that was not true, I would have told you. He said, I would have told you, it's not make-believe. It's not a lie. It's not some fairy tale that's out there. It is truth, and I'm getting ready to die for it. Because why else would he have died for it? Why else would he have hung on that tree? Why else would he have been put through the shame that we heard about this morning while the Batemans were singing the crown of thorns in his head, the blood that's running down? Why else would he was in complete control of what was happening. Why else would it happen He would have told you if it wasn't true. But he also tells you what is true. You're not going in unless you come through me. And it doesn't matter how much you've done that's good, because those Pharisees, boy, our lives would probably look wicked compared to theirs. All the rituals, all the things they did to stack up, and they always dressed right, they always gave right, they were always there, they memorized parts of the Bible, memorized the Old Testament, they did all these different things on the works of righteousness in their mind, pale in comparison to modern day Christianity today. It's not even close. But they're not going in unless they come in through Jesus. He even looks at him. He even looks at Nicodemus, one of the leaders, and says, ye must be born again. And then he says in verse number 3, it gets even better. He says, and I go and prepare a place for you. He says, don't even worry about the many mansions that everybody else has. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's personal. And then he says, I will come again. I'm sure they're excited about that. And he says, I'm coming back. And he says, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can't go with me now, but someday you will be with me. That's why we don't have to be troubled today. Because even though we cannot be with him now, per se, where he is, he lives inside of us. But someday the day's coming. And then it continues on, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know, and Thomas asks that famous question. He says, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And that's when he gives that answer. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This morning, I really want you to give a thought. I know last Sunday morning's message was a gospel message, and as a church, we should not be tired of hearing the gospel message. We should be something we would want to hear over and over and over. But my concern and my question for you today is, are you going to go in? Have you put your faith and trust in him today? There is a lost and dying world out there today, and many, 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 the majority is not getting in. Even you think about the parable he taught, there was people who did this in Jesus' name and did this in Jesus' name and did this in Jesus' name. And he looks at him and he says, I never knew you. Will he say that to you someday? Because there's only a certain group that's getting in. And praise the Lord that God didn't pick who's going to get saved, who's not going to get saved. In his foreknowledge, he knew who it was. But he didn't say, nope, you're not going to do this. And nope, he didn't do that. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So here, for this morning's message, mostly it's, are you getting in? Number 2 is, what are you so upset about? What are you so worried about? What are you letting things get you bent out of shape so much? He says, let not your heart be troubled. There's a lot of things in this world that are happening today, and they need to see Christians who are at peace. They need to see Christians who are right with the Lord. They need to see, and that's why he's preparing them and saying to them, look, let not your heart be troubled. And there is a time for mourning, and there is a time for feasting, and there is a time for this and a time for that. I understand all that. But the world needs now is Christians that can introduce them to Jesus. And if our hearts are troubled and we're worried and we're overwhelmed and we're all these other things, let's go back. Let's embrace that faith, that first day. And let's remember what it was like when we got saved. And let's take that with us and say, hey, this can happen to you. Embrace that faith. Envision the future. Amen. There's coming a day. Don't you want them to come in with you? Amen. But there's a lot of people here today whose hearts are troubled. But what's troubling it? The reality, what is troubling your heart today? Let's get down to the nitty-gritty, to the basics. Is what's troubling our heart today our own pride? The things that we think should be done differently, things of this or that? Are we allowing circumstances or the love of this world to stop us from letting our hearts be at peace? It shouldn't. I could only imagine being one of those 11 guys. I don't think God, he would even call me back then. But I couldn't even imagine being one of the 11 guys hearing all those things, their hopes, their dreams are all dashed. You know why? It's because they had the wrong hope. They had the wrong dream. And so many times we're disappointed. So many times our hopes and our dreams are discouraged and they don't happen is because our desires are not his desires. In Psalms 37, it even says, let me go there so that way I don't misquote it, because it's one of my favorite verses, and if I misquote it, I'd be mad at myself. In Psalms 37, it was that one about delight, the one that we even had as a theme verse, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. He's saying right there, I'm going to give you a desire of your heart. You say, Pastor, I got a lot of desires that God hasn't given me. You got the wrong desires, because he says he's going to give you the desire of your heart. Your desires are wrong then. When our heart lines up with God's heart, because God's not changing, when our hopes and our dreams line up with God's hopes and dreams for us, you know what's going to happen? That's when we're going to see our prayers answered. That's when we're going to see the desires of God's hearts, because it's God's desire for us too. Does that mean it's always going to be pretty? No. Go read the New Testament. It's not. Go read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's not. But you know what it does mean? Your heart doesn't have to be troubled. How can those disciples who are this night give their lives for the cause of Christ time and time and time again? Obviously, they only have one life to give. I'm talking about the whole 11. They face crucifixion. And I'm not 100% sure, because I wasn't there, and history doesn't tell us, but many times when a person is getting ready to die for the cause, they have a chance to recant. They have a chance to say, no, I don't believe in it anymore. Don't kill me because of the fact that he was a false god. They wouldn't kill somebody that was saying that. They put him to death because of the fact that their heart, they believed in God and they trusted in him. And their heart, I'm sure, was anxious and beating fast, but at the same time, they believed what Jesus said. So the question this morning is personal, is number one, are you going in? Number two, the question is, what are you letting trouble your heart today? When we see the increase in suicide, when we see the increase in mental health, when we see the increases in people taking narcotics to help them calm down, and I understand some of that stuff. I'm not a doctor. I'm sure some of that stuff is legitimate. But in the day and time we live in, we see all these things happening, all these problems, and the world's turning upside down. So many people are angry about so many different issues. There is just violence all around us. There is chaos in the streets sometimes. And as a believer, we're supposed to let our light shine. Say, how in the world can I let my light shine? If your heart's not troubled, you know what? You're going to be shining. If you have a life of peace and of joy that's unexplainable, you're going to shine. But when you turn around and you have the same worried attitude, you have the same depression, you have the same anxieties, you have the same this and the same that as the rest of the world, they're going to look at you and say, why do I want something you have? You look just like me. Will you go in someday? And if you are, let's remember these powerful truths. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in what he said. You don't have to be anxious for anything. You can have a life of peace that's passive all understanding. You can lay everything at his feet. He can even take and produce the fruits of the Spirit in your life. The only way he can do that, though, is if you go in. This morning, if you died today, someone came to you, and I don't think it happens this way, but you always hear the story, how they have a picture and the impression that Gabriel sitting at the front gates of heaven. It's completely unbiblical. But if Gabriel looked at you and said, hey, why do you think you should get to go to heaven? What would you say today? Could you give him a biblical reason and say, I can go in because of what Jesus did for me. And from what the Bible says, by faith, I put my trust in him. And that's the only merit I have. Has nothing to do about being a martyr or dying, doing something wrong. It has to do with what Jesus did. As we're getting ready to celebrate Easter, let's not reject him. Let's believe in him. And as for us that are believers, let us be reminded once again, he is the only way, and he suffered so much for us. And we have the opportunity someday to go in and envision that future. And because as we envision that future, embrace that faith and say, I believe, and I'm going to live where my heart's not troubled, where I'm going to live a life of peace. And I'm going to live a life that's surrendered to God so this world I can shine as a light throughout this world. Do you know God today? And I don't care who you are. If you've been going to church all your life like me, or maybe this is your second, third month being here, first week, if you die today, do you know that you go to heaven? Don't base it off what someone else told you. Base it off what he says. And like Miss Karen sang today, I can go in. It's not because I'm a martyr, not because I'm a prophet. I can go in because as a 9-year-old boy, God got a hold of my heart, showed me how much of a dirty, rotten sinner I was. That sin separated me from him. And the wonderful thing that Jesus did for me, and dying on that cross. And I'm not going to minimize it. I'm not going to say I can get there another way. I can go in because of what Jesus did. Let's pray.